Red Dwarf, Series 6, Episode 2, Legion. In this episode, our friends are in need of food, drink, and fuel. They still haven't found Red Dwarf. During their travels, they encounter a strange creature, Legion. Who is this creature? Are they ever going to catch up to Red Dwarf and get enough food and drink? Come aboard and find out. Starbuck Galley. Rimmer enters the kitchen area, where Crichton is delicately slicing a carrot.
10 o'clock changeover. Anything to report?
We're still lagging behind Red Dwarf, sir, almost 24 hours behind now. Other than that, it's been a moderately quiet shift, except for one small shock a couple of hours ago when we noticed an alien invasion fleet off the starboard bow. Thankfully, it turned out to be one of M.R. Lister's old sneezes that had congealed on the radar screen.
How are we fuel-wise?
Unchanged for today, sir. However, the supply situation grows increasingly bleak. We've recycled the water so often, it's beginning to taste like Dutch lager.
We're okay for food, though, aren't we?
Confidentially, sir, no. We've no meat, no pulse, and hardly any grain. Worse still, the only licorice of sorts left are those horly little black twisty ones that everybody hates. If that weren't bad enough, space weevils have eaten the last of the corn supply.
So what's under the grill?
Space weevil.
Crichton pulls the pan out from under the grill. Rimmer looks away, disgusted.
You can't serve space weevil, Crichton. I mean, not even Lister with his single remaining taste bud will knowingly sit down and eat insectoid vermin. Well, let's face it, with him it's practically cannibalism.
Crichton places the grilled roach on a plate, garnished with fresh vegetables.
But it's incredibly nutritious, sir. After all, it is corn-fed.
You'll never get him to eat it.
Trust me, sir. They say the first bite is with the eye. It's all down to presentation.
He sprinkles some grated herbs over the repast, then lifts it up in one hand, Wager style.
Et voila.
Cockpit. Meanwhile, in the cockpit, Lister is at the controls, looking bored. There is a magazine lying on a nearby control surface.
Changeover. Anything new?
Lister picks up his magazine and stands up.
Oh, nothing much. Electrical storm, alien war fleet false alarm, the usual stuff.
Cat squeezes past Lister as he heads for the door.
Look at the state of this place. Why can't you ever clean up before we swap over?
Cat sits down in the control chair which Lister has just vacated.
What the hell is all this down the back of my chair? Peanuts?
No, I've been trimming my verrucas.
You have personal habits that would make a monkey blush.
You really think I'm psychotically disgusting, don't you? They're peanuts, okay.
Real peanuts?
Yeah.
Where'd you get them?
That derelict a couple of months back. I found them in a dead captain's old donkey jacket.
Cat stares at him.
Don't look at me like that. You enjoyed that mint imperial, didn't you?
And where did you get that?
He was sucking that when he got shot. I had to prise his jaws open with a car jack.
You think I'll buy anything you say, don't you? Well, wrong, buddy. Now get out of here, I gotta keep my eyes skinned for that asteroid shaped like a dancing moose you told me about yesterday.
Midsection. Lister enters the midsection.
Hi, honey, I'm home.
As Lister sits down at the table, Crichton and Rimmer enter. Crichton places before him a covered metal tray and a tape.
Supper, sir, and tonight's movie. I'm sorry, sir, it is another Doug McClure. Please don't hit me.
Lister lifts the cover off the supper tray and freezes. He peers intently at the plate.
What's this?
Sir.
Lister digs around on plate and holds up the offending foodstuff.
Raw carrot. Crichton, you know how I feel about fresh vegetables. They're for health psychos, vitamin freaks. People.
Throws the carrot onto the table, away from his plate.
Period. Who exercise?
I'm sorry, sir.
Lister opens his magazine and takes a bite of weevil. He pauses, a look of annoyance and disgust crossing his face.
Is everything okay, sir?
No, it's not. Some snakers filled in this. Have you got a good memory quiz?
But that was you, sir. Last week. Don't you remember?
Was it?
HM. Look, nobody else spells Thursday with an F.
I can't help it. I went to art college.
Resumes eating.
How's supper, Listy? It's delicious. I didn't know we had any crunchy king prawn left.
Cat appears in the doorway to the cockpit. He looks worried.
I hate to go all technical on you, but all hands on deck, swirly thing alert.
Cockpit. They charge through to the cockpit. There are four control positions. Cat takes the main joystick, Lister the communications and navigation, Rimmer takes short-range sensors, and Crichton takes shipboard systems and long-range sensors.
Where?
It's not on the radar yet, but I can smell it.
Nothing here.
Nothing on long range. Sir, is it possible you could have made a mis-smelling?
Listen, butter pat head, my nostril hairs are vibrating faster than the springs on a Spaniard's honeymoon bed. I'm telling you, there's something out there.
Don't get your double helix in a strict. No one's questioning your nasal integrity.
Go to Blue Alert.
What for? There's no one to alert, we're all here.
I would just feel more comfortable if I know that we're all on our toes apostrophe cause everyone's aware it's a Blue Alert situation.
We all are on our toes.
May I remind you all of Space Corps Directive 34124.
34124. No officer with false t-shirt attempt oral sex in zero gravity.
Damn you both, all the way to heads. I want to go to Blue Alert.
Okay, okay.
Lister presses a button. The alert box on the wall starts to flash blue.
Thank you. A bit of professionalism.
Wait. I've got something, I'm punching it up.
We see a view of an orange, comet-like thing speeding through space.
Too small for a vessel, maybe some kind of missile.
It's impossible to tell at this range. Whatever it is, they clearly have a technology way in advance of our own.
So do the Albanian State Washing Machine Company.
Step up to Red Alert.
Sir, are you absolutely sure? It does mean changing the bulb.
There's always some excuse, isn't there?
Range 15,000 gigahertz and closing.
Direct collision course. Suggest evasive action.
Engaging reheat.
They dodge.
It's still with us. It's some kind of heat seeker, we can't outrun it.
That's it. We're better than tank tops.
Suggestions?
Sir, may I recommend I load myself into the reverse thrust tubes and you use my body as decoy fodder. This will, of course, leave me splattered across deep space and unable to complete today's laundry, for which I apologize in advance.
Crichton, stop your blathering and get in the damn tube.
Crichton, sit down. I'm not doing me own making ironing.
Look, maybe we can reason with it. Open communication channels, Lister. Broadcast on all known frequencies and in all known languages, including Welsh.
Lister does so.
This is Acting Senior Officer Arnold J. Rimmer of the Jupiter Mining Corporation Transport Vehicle Starbug. Now hear this, apostrophe cause it's only coming once, we surrender, totally and without condition. Thank you for listening. Oh, additional, sorry to take up your valuable time. Sorry. Thank you. Sorry. Bye. Bye. Sorry. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Rimmer, you've got a longer yellow streak than a stampede of diuretic camels.
Know this about me, like General George S. Patton, I believe in reincarnation. It is my firm conviction that in all my previous lives I've been a soldier, a bold warrior soul, who tragically in this incarnation has been given the body of an abject coward. So excuse me, gentlemen, while I have a humiliating panic attack under the scanner table.
He scampers aft.
Here it comes.
5 gigahertz to impact, hang onto your wage packets.
The missile hits them. Immediately, Starbug is enclosed in a sphere made up of hundreds of points interconnected by glowing lines, much like a computer-generated model of a Buckminster Fullery molecule. Inside the cockpit, the lighting has turned red.
The controls are down.
Rimmer, satisfied that they are still alive, re-enters the cockpit.
What on IO was that?
Some kind of suction beam. We're being dragged down.
Fire up the retros.
Dead.
Auxiliary power.
Dead.
Joystick.
Dead. Ah, the entire panel's deader than a line flares with pockets in the knees.
I've located the beam source. I'm punching it up.
We see a view of Starbuck being pulled towards an intricate, graceful space station. Waves of energy are pulsing out from a hangar bay about halfway up the station's main axis. As they reach the net surrounding Starbuck, they expand, flowing around the net on all sides. The energy waves are wafting Starbuck towards the hangar. Starbuck, surrounded by the net, is landed in the hangar. It is of a rather curious design, a rather pleasing white marble decor, with at least one freeform sculpture prominently displayed on a black and white check floor. The net vanishes. Midsection.
So what have we got?
Well, it seems we were snared by some kind of malfunctioning guidance beam. Designed to help docking supply ships. We've shut it down, and we're free to leave.
Anyone around?
No life signs, nothing.
The Udent computer is stubborn as a mule. All I could get from its pesky little ROM was something about classified military research. Wouldn't give me any details. But listen to some of the physicists involved: Heidegger, Devro, Holger, Quayle, some of the most brilliant minds of the 23rd century. Whatever they were cooking up here, it must have been something pretty special.
HMM. Anything we can salvage?
There must be something we can swipe.
Well, gentlemen, our strategy is clear. Let's tool up and go shopping.
Station corridor. They enter the station. It looks like the inside of a shopping mall, clean, almost antiseptic, stylish. Crichton is wielding the size can. It emits a soft, regular beeping. They aren't far in when Cat pauses, sniffing.
What? Anything?
I'm not sure. Something.
A strange mist swirls around and past them. None of them appear to notice it.
It's almost off my nasal spectrum.
The mist curls upwards onto a higher level where it coalesces into a humanoid figure. It watches them approach. The beeping from the size can becomes more rapid until it merges into a single note.
Strange life reading.
Why didn't it register before?
The stranger descends in a lift. He is clad in a gold bodysuit with a silver chest pack and face mask. Edgar's note, Holly's old male voice will be strangers. We don't use it anymore.
Welcome, my friends. It has been many centuries since I last had visitors.
He turns to Crichton.
You, of course, are Crichton.
He shakes Crichton's hand, then turns to face Rimmer.
And you are Rimmer, the hologram. May I?
Before Rimmer can react, he reaches in and grabs Rimmer's light bee. Rimmer immediately fades as the light bee tries to continue projecting him, but at a greater range. He vanishes altogether as the stranger switches the light bee off and examines it closely.
He opens it, now then,
and removes a few meters of wire, whilst muttering,
yes, of course. Primitive. So basic.
He replaces it with a thimble-sized unit, which rattles inside the otherwise near-empty casing, and switches it back on. He lobs the light bee towards Rimmer's last location. Rimmer reappears there, as before, but now his jacket is blue. He pauses for a moment to catch his breath.
You'd better have a mighty damn fine explanation for what you've just done, Miladio.
Forgive me. I merely converted your projection unit from soft light to hard light.
Hard light? I've got a body. I can touch. Feel.
Puncture repair kit on standby, sir.
But how?
I created the hard light drive many years ago. My mind is not all that it once was. You, my friend, are Lister.
How come you know who we all are?
You are in pain. Here.
He touches a spot on his stomach.
No, just a bit of bang or belly.
No, it is something more serious. May I?
Okay.
Lister opens his jacket and shirt. The stranger uses a scalpel-like device to slice a neat, painless, bloodless slit in Lister's stomach. He reaches inside and takes out
your appendix. As I thought, you were on the verge of peritonitis.
He then hands the appendix to Lister.
Cheers, man.
And you are the cat.
You come anywhere near me, buddy, you'll be wearing them bowels as a bobble hat.
You're all tired and in need of nourishment. Come, let us dine.
What is your name?
Call me Legion.
Dining room. Legion leads them into a dining room full of exquisite art objects. Soft harpsichord music plays in the background.
Please, make yourselves comfortable.
Legion, these statues. You sculpted them yourself.
Years ago, I was a different person then.
Well, according to my connoisseur chip, they fulfill all 10 requirements for being masterpieces.
You have a connoisseur chip?
Just because I look like Herman Munster's stuntman doesn't mean to say I can't appreciate art, sir.
I shall return with the feast.
Can I eat? I mean, in this body, is it possible?
Mr. Rimmer, in a hard light body, you can do anything a human can do, with the added bonus that you are practically indestructible.
I can't be H-U-R-T exclamation point.
Your pleasure and pain responses remain the same, but you cannot come to harm. Excuse me.
As Legion leaves to prepare them their feast, Rimmer bows to him smarmly. Lister flops down in one of the chairs and puts his feet up on the table. Cat, ill at ease, also sits.
His cellular structure is unique. Genetic strands I've never seen before. Part living tissue, part mechanical.
We've got to persuade him to come with us. He'd get us back to Earth in weeks. And what a team we'd make. Legion, with his scientific genius, intellect, culture and sophistication, and us
with a red alert bulb. Let's flag down a black cat and head for real street here. This Johnny won't come with us. He'd never fit in. Can you see him joining in on our late night sessions of pin a pointy stick on the weather girl?
True, but once he's signed up and we're off in a big black, it'll be too late for him to change his mind. All we have to do is create the facade that we're not the uncouth morons you are.
Just then the door opens, signaling Legion's return.
Here is the feast. It is a traditional 24th century Mimajin banquet.
Rimmer goes into obsequious prick mode with a vengeance as Crichton starts serving the food.
How absolutely divine, Legion. Although I must say, our souls are already gorged fit to burst with the feast of art laid out on your walls.
I wasn't aware you had an interest in art, M.R. Rimmer.
Many's the night we while away the wee hours contemplating a Caravaggio, discussing its shape, themes and form.
The pointy stick game doesn't get a lurkin anymore.
HMM. Marvelous. Now this three-dimensional sculpture in particular is quite exquisite. Its simplicity, its bold, stark lines gray, what do you call it?
The light switch.
The light switch?
Yes.
I couldn't buy it, then.
Not really. I need it to turn the lights on and off.
It's a pity, apostrophe cos if it wasn't the light switch, in many ways it could be considered a masterpiece.
They cross to the table.
Crichton, please join us. Mimajin cuisine is quite acceptable for mechanoids.
Indeed. It has long been a dream of mine to sample its unique flavors.
Let the meal begin.
He disconnects the breathing tube from the mouth hole on his mask. The others, meanwhile, are investigating the cutlery. There are no knives or forks. Instead, each person has two strange devices which look rather like an egg whisk that's been mated with the model of an ethanol molecule. Seeing their confusion, Legion speaks up.
I'm sorry. Of course. Not all of you can use Mimajin anti-matter chopsticks.
He switches his chopsticks on for a few seconds. They rotate, giving off an electrical hum.
I'm fully versed, Legion. For my cooking duties, I'm programmed to be proficient in all known off-world eating techniques, including Jovian buccal hoops and the often lethal Mercurian boomerang spoon.
But the others?
The aforementioned others are holding their anti-matter chopsticks. They grin weakly.
Anti-matter chopsticks? We use them all the time.
Can't even remember what a fork looks like.
Don't let a few congealed custard stains down Lister's long johns delude you into thinking we're not sophisticates.
They switch on their chopsticks. A blob of food rises from its plate and, under the guidance of Legion's chopsticks, crosses the table to his mouth, while the uncouth morons watch in barely concealed amazement.
The trick is, of course, to never, ever, under any circumstances, to allow live sticks to touch, but of course we all know that.
Crichton uses his own chopsticks to pick up what looks like a bird's nest. He is clearly not as expert as Rimmer. The food wobbles in midair, forcing him to chase it around with his mouth.
Well, bon appetite. Tuck in, Listy.
No, after you, man.
Wouldn't hear of it.
Lister tries to use the chopsticks on the dish in front of him. He's doing pretty well bar the small detail that he has got food from a plate other than the one he was aiming for until, that is, he tries to take a bite. He loses control of the sticks, and the food shoots off to the right and lands on Rimmer's face.
Sir, you're creating a reverse field. Try and keep the electron flow in the same direction.
Cat, meanwhile, is having a different problem. His food is 2 feet above his head, and his chopsticks are pointed straight at it.
How do you land the damn stuff?
Simply invert the ionic phase in the dumpus of the field margin.
I was with you all the way up to simply.
Like so.
He intervenes with his own chopsticks. Between them, he and Cat manage to land the food on Rimmer's shoulder. As Rimmer glares at them, Crichton notices Lister tugging futilely at his wine glass.
Sir, the glass is fixed to the table. It's Mimajin telekinetic wine.
So how do you drink it?
You simply will the liquid into your mouth, and then you telepathically decide on its flavor. Thusly,
he turns his attention to the glass before him. The liquid within jets straight into his mouth in a thin stream. Crichton sucks for a few seconds, then sits back with a sigh.
Ah, delicious.
Lister gives it a go. He squints hard at the glass and sucks. The liquid jets from the glass in a thick stream and hits him in the face.
Crichton, help me.
Crichton concentrates and the jet stops, leaving Lister gasping for air. He notices Legion watching him and gives a sickly grin. Meanwhile, Cat and Rimmer are having a slight disagreement.
Cat, that's mine.
Cat is struggling to control his chopsticks, which are pointed straight at the food in Rimmer's mouth. The food is being pulled towards them, causing Rimmer's cheek to bulge.
I can't help it, bud. Somehow we've crossed wavelengths.
It feels like you're pulling my teeth out.
Try swallowing it.
I have 3 times.
Abruptly, the food leaves Rimmer's mouth. It shoots past Cat's chopsticks and glossops against one of Legion's paintings.
My friends, I sense you are trying to impress me. There really is no need. May I be frank? It's not often we meet an individual who we feel could improve our already pretty damn fine top-notch team. But in you, we feel we have. In all our travels, we have met precisely 31 individuals, 3-1. And we have never felt moved to invite a single one to join our crew. True, most of them wanted in some way to suck out our brains or erase us from history altogether. Nevertheless, they still weren't what we would consider the right stuff. We feel that you are different. We feel that you, like us, have the courage and the dignity it takes to make it as a dwarfer.
Satisfied with his speech, Rimmer sits back and starts to cross his.
Sir, don't cross the chopsticks.
All the food on the table starts to tremble. All at once, it lifts into the air and hurls itself at Rimmer. When the barrage finally stops, Rimmer is completely covered in food.
Mr. Rimmer, I am moved by the eloquence of your invitation, but it is quite impossible for me to leave the confines of the Institute.
It was Lister, wasn't it? He put you off.
Is there nothing we can do to change your mind?
Absolutely.
Then I'm afraid we must bid you farewell. We have a long journey ahead of us.
Nonsense. You have no journey at all, my friends. I insist you stay here with me. You will be my honored guests from now until the day you die.
Rimmer wipes the food from his face and sighs.
32.
Bedroom. Legion leads Lister into a bedroom. Posters cover the walls, and loud music plays on the jukebox. On the bed is a steel guitar, and in one corner of the room is a fridge. This will be your cell, Dave.
My cell? You really are a nutter, aren't you?
Lister crosses over to the table. On the table top is a wine bottle in a bucket of ice and a covered tray. Lister investigates the bubbly, then lifts up the cover of the tray.
Sugar puff sandwiches. Me favorite.
I think you will find nothing here that isn't to your liking. The entire room is stocked for your own unique personal tastes and requirements.
Lister examines the interior of the fridge.
2 dozen 8-packs and a spare pair of sneakers in the icebox. Faultless. Not an inch wasted.
He closes the fridge and flops down on the bed.
All your favorite music, all your favorite movies. Absolutely no Doug McClure. You will want for nothing.
Nothing? What about company? What about people?
There is a super park in the complex. You may go to any time period of your choosing and indulge any fantasy you wish with any persons you desire.
And that's in some way supposed to make me happy. Sorry, run that by me one more time.
You will meet your companions in the morning. Now, you must excuse me, they are falling asleep. I must go.
Legion leaves quickly. Lister picks up the guitar and strums it experimentally. The noise is awful.
Amazing. Doesn't even need tuning.
Dining room. Next morning, they all gather for breakfast in the dining room. Rimmer is the last to arrive.
Good morning, sir.
What does he want from us? Why is he so obsessed with fulfilling our every desire?
We're all equally baffled, sir. Was your room like everyone else's, perfect in every detail?
Impeccable. Right down to the overstarched pajamas and nocturnal boxing gloves. What about you?
Filthy walls, mud-streaked floors, mop and bucket, I was in hog's heaven, sir.
When I finally get round to writing my good psycho guide, this place is gonna get raves. Accommodation excellent. Food first class. Resident nutter courteous and considerate. Psycho rating's gonna be 4.5 chainsaws. Higher, maybe.
Sirs, we must not be seduced by all this fine living. However munificent our captor, we are still prisoners. And with every second that passes, we lose yet more ground on Red Dwarf.
You're right, Crichton. Cat, have your niblet.
Cat passes him the requested foodstuffs. Lister stands, places one foot on a chair, and addresses his troops.
Bucks fizz.
Cat passes him the jug, and Lister pours himself a drink.
Let's talk about how to get out of this hellhole.
What do we know about this Johnny? And why is he so keen on keeping us happy?
Is it possible that our well-being is in some way linked to his own?
What? You mean like he's feeding off our emotions?
Remember when we arrived, the scans recorded no life signs. Is it possible that our very presence here has in some way inadvertently awoken him?
Lister looks up from his examination of a large, white, vaguely woman-shaped sculpture. He grins.
Wait a minute, I think I've got a way of getting out of here. Has anyone ever seen Revenge of the Surfboarding Killer Bikini Vampire Girls?
I think that one's lived to spy, sir.
Well, there's this one scene where the good-looking unconventional female journalist who wore glasses and a tight sweater was trapped deep in the bosom of the surfboarding killer Bikini Vampire Girl's lair, and she came up with this truly award-winning escape plan.
Legion enters the dining room. Crichton, Cat, and Rimmer are sitting at the table, smiling in a facky sort of way. In the chair facing away from the door is a sculpture, dressed in Lister's hat and jacket. Lister is standing behind the door, holding a heavy-looking object art the sculpture he was examining whilst forming his plan over his head.
Ah! Legion, we have considered our position and have decided our best option is to make a new life here with you.
You truly believed I would be deceived by that schlock plan from Revenge of the Surfboarding Killer Bikini Vampire GIRLS?
With a single backhand blow, he knocks the statue from the seat. Lister tosses the sculpture onto Legion. The impact knocks off the facemask. Legion's face is a nightmare. A silver H on his forehead, mooted plastic curves, fangs and a mismatched eyes, one mechanoid, one human.
I just want you to be happy.
Legion sends Lister flying. As Lister slides the length of the table, the others stand and lift their food and drink. Lister tumbles off the far end of the table and bangs his head off the wall. Legion snarls and turns to face his guests. As he does so, his face alters, shifting and rearranging. It is now made up of the parts of 3 faces, not 4.
Now look what you made me do.
Lister then regains consciousness with a groan. Legion's face shifts again, to what it had been before.
What the hell are you, buddy?
Crichton knows.
I do.
You suspect the truth?
You mean that you are a Gestalt entity, not a single creature but a combination of individuals melded together to form one?
My name is Legion, for we are many. Lister sits up.
What cheer us? All 4 of us. Our combined minds and personalities blended together.
Oh, but much more than that, exponentially more. The whole becomes far greater than the sum of its parts.
So we can't leave because you're us? you're created from us. If we leave, you cease to be.
Without you, my friends, I am quite literally nothing.
So if he's us, he can't hurt us, right?
Cat attempts to shimmy past Legion, who proves him wrong by knocking him the length of the table. Cat winds up in the lap of Lister, who is still sitting where Legion knocked him.
Wrong.
But this is insane. Hurting us is hurting yourself. Our pain is your pain.
Crichton, you forget. Not only do I possess your combined intellects and memories, I also share the sum of your malice and rage and anger, magnified many times. I'm capable of quite insanely irrational behavior. Watch.
Legion places his left hand flat on the table. He then takes the scalpel in his right hand and stabs himself in the back of his hand. The others all react to the terrible pain that they, too, are now feeling.
The next hint of insurrection and the scalpel ends up here.
Legion, that kind of tough talk doesn't scare us.
But what about the sculptures and the masterpieces and the technology? Where does that come from?
My first incarnation. I was host to the 5 most brilliant minds of their generation. They were experimenting in collective intelligence. I was the product of that research.
Hyvager, Quail, and the others the composite of their genius. Your mind must have been extraordinary.
But all too soon old age began to kill them, and as each one died, I became less until I was nothing, just a mindless essence swirling around the remnants of my achievements, waiting to exist again.
There's just one thing that still baffles me.
What's that?
Everything.
Sir, permission to test a supposition.
Granted.
Trust me, sir.
Crichton picks up a chair and uses it to clobber Lister over the head. As Lister hits the floor, out cold, Legion removes his mask. The elements of Legion's face which came from Lister vanish. Curiously, Legion makes no move to intervene. Crichton approaches Cat.
What's going down here?
The Kishtaut requires our consciousness in order to exist. Therefore, as each of us becomes unconscious, his power diminishes. Permission to lay you out, sir.
Do what you give, but don't mess up my hair.
Thank you.
Crichton lays Cat out, then approaches Rimmer. The yellow goat backs away. Crichton walks towards him. As he does so, he picks up a large blue vase and hides it behind his back.
Crichton, there has to be a more effective escape plan than this.
Sir, come back. You're just delaying the inevitable.
I can't help it. I'm allergic to being hit.
You won't feel a thing. I'll render you unconscious using the Ionian nerve grip.
Rimmer tenses up, closes his eyes and grits his teeth. Crichton pinches him on the shoulder then smashes him over the head with the vase.
That's not an Ionian nerve grip. That's smashing me over the head with a vase.
There's no such thing as an Ionian nerve grip. Now stand still while I hit you.
He picks up a platter and uses it to whet Rimmer over the head. Rimmer staggers, but doesn't go down.
Your hard light drives tougher than Vintoid Mutton.
Crichton looks for a possible weapon. He spots one and points to it.
This'll do the trick.
He rips the heavy-looking pipe free from the wall.
You can't be serious.
Thump.
Harger.
Thump.
Harger.
Thump.
Harger.
Thump. Thump. Thump.
Stop. Stop. Stop.
He staggers slightly and shakes his head.
Oh, for God's sake. If you want a job doing properly, do it yourself.
He walks over to a nearby wall and starts thumping his head against it while Crichton strikes him from behind with the pipe.
Bash. Thump. Bash. Thump. Bash. Thump.
Stop.
Crichton continues hitting him.
Stop, Crichton. Clearly this is not working. I'm a hard light hologram, and as such unknockable.
HMM. I think you're right, sir.
Thump.
Crichton.
I'm sorry, sir. I just thought that if I took you unawares.
Thump.
Crichton. I'm trying to think, you rubber-headed unit. Right, got it. Turn off my light B.
I can't, sir. I can't penetrate hard light. You'll have to extract it yourself.
Rimmer presses one hand to his stomach. His face twists with the effort and he vanishes. Crichton turns to face Legion as the elements of Rimmer's features vanish from Legion and he comes to resemble only Crichton.
Now we are even.
I am merely you. Stalemate.
Not so. Since the only ingredients in your psyche are mine, you are now incapable of malice. And because a human life takes precedent over the life of any mechanical, you are in fact compelled to assist our safe passage to Starbug.
As long as the others remain unconscious, your logic is impeccable.
Lister stirs and starts to wake up. Still watching Legion, Crichton lifts his head and bounces it off the floor.
You take the cat, I'll take Mr. Lister.
In many ways I am relieved. To have shared their psyches, their neuroses, their strange drives, returning to a limbo state of non-existence seems like promotion.
One last thing, in your original incarnation, when you were composed of all those great minds, did you ever develop anything which might assist our pursuit of Red Dwarf?
Starbuck departing Legion space station. Starbuck engine room. Later, in Starbuck, they all gather around Legion's invention, which is bogged to the floor of the engine room. It is a strange contraption, rather like a 3-foot-high silver spinning top in a metal framework.
Here we go, initiating ignition sequence.
Is this gonna work?
Well, I see no reason why not, sir. All tests bear out, it is indeed a fully functional Stargrave. If we've linked it correctly to the bug's existing engines, we'll be able to catch up with Red Dwarf in a matter of nanoseconds.
Yeah, but it's bound to go wrong, isn't it?
Sir.
It always does for us, every time.
He's right. There isn't a dog in hell's chance this Stargrave is actually gonna work.
Sirs, haven't we learned over the past 2 days that if we all pull together we can become greater than the sum of our parts? That if we are of one mind and one intent, there are no boundaries to what we can achieve. This Stargrave is going to work, do we believe? Do. We. Believe. Others, they switch it on. The Stargrave starts to glow and spin. As its rate of spin increases, it starts to rise. Higher the cables connecting it to the engines part one by one in pyrotechnic showers of sparks as the Stargrave takes off and flies around the engine room, finally crashing out through the hull. As they are being sucked towards the gaping hole, well, we know one thing, sir.
What's that?
It does work.
The end.